this is what triggered many people think that this is what triggered the first prorogue of the Harper government, and then the coalition and the conundrum around the coalition was the introduction by Jim Flaherty 3 years ago to cut the per vote subsidy and to say to political parties, that's it. You're not getting $1.95 for every vote you get in a federal election. And the parties were like, well, hold on a second. Wait a second. This is a main source of funding for us. That the Bloc Québécois and the Green Party, although the Green Party wasn't represented then, but the Bloc Québécois and the NDP and the Liberals all realized, you know what? It's not their only source of funding. Well, for the Bloc, it was almost their only source of funding. But this is a couple million dollars. You can't just cut a couple million dollars from us. So we've just gone through a bunch of elections. You know, you're really going to hobble us. We don't have the financial support that the Conservatives do. So this is war. I mean, this is it. You know what? The hell with you guys. Let's form a coalition and kick them out, and then we'll save our funding. And so, of course, all that precipitated. And then, you know, here we are 3 years later. We're cutting the per vote funding. All right. Because the Conservatives in a majority, everyone, as adamant as Jack Layton says, he's going to stand up and fight for, you know, Canadians. They've got a majority. They've got a majority. But there's other ways parties get funded. There's other ways parties get funded. One, they get reimbursed for advertising. And two, they get tax. You get a tax subsidy when you donate directly to a party. I don't know if cutting the per vote subsidy is the best thing. I don't know if that's the way to do it. I mean, what we want in this country is a healthy democracy. We use our tax system, okay, and our revenue system already to reward political parties. If I made a $100 donation to any party, I get a $75 tax credit. If I did it to a charity, I get a $25 tax credit. Ooh, where do you think my money's going to if I want to influence policy? I mean, it barely costs me anything. To make a $1,000 donation costs me $250. It doesn't make sense. I mean, that's the subsidy that has to be changed. That's the one that has to be changed. We already subsidize political parties. We do it huge. But the benefactor of that one is the Tories, okay? The Tories more than anyone benefit from that one, and they're not going to change it. Jeff up in Orillia, how are you?
I'm very well this morning. How are you?
I am good. I think cutting the per vote subsidy is a small the per vote subsidy is a small price we pay for a vibrant democracy.
Now, I know that you don't suffer from short-term memory loss, so you know that yesterday morning, I was the last caller, and this is what I mentioned.
I totally forgot this. Refresh my memory.
Well, I said I said that the way that we should be going is that we should be eliminating the tax credits and increasing the per vote subsidy.
As a quick aside, it was a joke on my short-term memory loss.
Oh, I see.
But anyway, that's the thing. I'm just like,
but
Tom, parties, this is the one way Canadians can directly reward their parties,
right,
where the tax system,
right,
is not the way. Because if I'm a Green Party supporter, my tax dollars are going to support every other party.
And this is very timely because I just got my paper just now, the Orillia packet, and here's Dave Aiken, who is the Parliamentary Bureau Chief for Sun Media, and his article today is exactly on this. And the headline is, Per Vote Payday Worth Saving.
Yep.
And so... I invite all my fellow listeners out there, as well as you and Kevin, to have a look at this article, because what he did is he's actually broken it down and actually slapping Flaherty in the face, because he's saying that if Flaherty is truly interested in fiscal restraint, then it's the tax credit.
That's the one that's the biggest drain.
Yes, and that from a democratic standpoint, The per vote payday is the way to go. Now, I mentioned that I think that it should be increased to $4 or even $5, so that there is a true demonstration. Because if I vote for the NDP, if I vote for the Liberals, if I vote for the Conservatives, if I vote for the Greens, my vote is a demonstration of who I support.
Here's the one thing in the United States that I may be hazy on the details, but it would be interesting to see if we did it here, that you can choose to get public support or not. and that the Democrats chose not to, and therefore were allowed to spend whatever they want. And the Republicans last the presidential election chose to, okay, you're going to get matching funds. Maybe in Canada, the party should say, we're going to take the per vote subsidy, or we're going to go with no restrictions on our fundraising. But no matter what, the tax credit for a political donation has to be reduced to a level equivalent to a charity.
Well, absolutely. And, yeah. And I was going to mention that because you most appropriately, now what Dave Akin has used is he's used $100, and he demonstrated exactly what you said. And that is that if you give a $100 donation to a party, then you're getting a $75 as a tax credit. Whereas if you give it to the Red Cross, you're only getting $25.
Yeah, really.
You know,
well, because the politicians control the tax code, so they're going to make everything possible
God
to make it.
They write the book.
Exactly.
You know,
of course they're going to make the rules easy for them to get money.
But as I say, Dave Akin's article that it will be in all Sun Media publications today outlines this as very, very succinctly with all the comparative data. And I invite everybody to have a look at it.
And I'll bring up, in the States, they make a choice. You can get matching funds or you can't. And if you get matching funds, fine. You want to get matching funds? That's fine. But if you don't get matching funds, you know what? You can you can do with it what you want, no restrictions.
Yeah.
Okay. So
Dore
I think the small parties would be like, yeah, you know what? Give me the per vote subsidy. I'll take it. And the big parties, no, we don't want restrictions. Okay, then. You can do that as well. So it's a choice by the parties. And that, I think it'll lead to, and what we really need is we can't be choking off democracy for the sake of a few million dollars.
Oh, no, it's not for the sake of a few million dollars. It's for the sake of the larger parties being able to lord themselves over the smaller ones.
Okay, well...
Cutting us off from a democratic process. Once again.
Have a good one, my friend.
Thanks, buddy.
19 minutes after 11 o'clock, your thought on the per-vote subsidy. Should have been cut? How would you fund the parties? What is a way to fund the parties? What do you think we should do? 1-877-610-2582, #610 on the Bell Mobility Network. Email McConnell at astral.com.
Broadcasting live on News Talk 1290 CJBK in London and 610 CKTB in Niagara. Here's Tom McConnell.
24 minutes after 11 o'clock. Robert in London, how are you, sir?
How are you doing, Tom?
I'm excellent. Well, should we be funding political parties in any way?
No.
Nothing?
Political parties, and I own one.
Okay.
Okay.
To be fair.
They are private institutions.
Yep.
I have been the CFO and president of the Freedom Party of Ontario since 1984. I signed the receipts, and I think there's a lot of misinformation floating around here about political tax credits versus direct tax funding.
Okay.
Political tax credits do not accrue to the party. I get nothing. Freedom Party receives zero government funding in any way, shape, or form.
Okay, but if I donate $100 to the Freedom Party...
Yes. You'll get $75 back...
And you'll get $100.
From your provincial Ontario income tax paid or payable.
Okay.
If you have none payable, you get zip.
Well, that's true. That's a good point.
Okay, now here's the thing. The tax credits benefit only the poor.
How come?
They do not benefit the rich. It's like reverse progressive taxation, and people don't understand this. The most a person can claim, even if he gives tens of thousands of dollars to a party, is $1,240 as a tax credit.
Okay.
The guy who makes the largest tax credit is the guy who gives the smallest contribution. And the idea was, the thinking, as we were taught at the Elections Commission when they put us through all the training sessions, was that people who don't have a lot of money don't have a lot of incentive to get into politics. They can't influence political parties. So they figure, since the government that they might be fighting is already using their tax dollars, you know, basically against them, that they should be able to at least direct some of their already paid tax dollars to a party of their choice. Now, if they can't claim the tax credit, it doesn't affect anyone else. Nobody else is paying. It doesn't work that way. And it tops out, and it goes, and it gets increasingly less. You know, it starts off at 75% back, then 50%, then 33%, and you can only give up to around $8,000 to a political party.
With any tax credit, and after that, it just nothing.
Well, you don't even you max out on the tax credit pretty early.
Okay.
You don't have to give a lot of money to max out on the tax credit.
Then how? So there should be no involvement whatsoever. That if you want to have a political party, you got to find others to put their money where their mouth is for you to get the message out.
Well, you know, this keeps some parties in power who don't deserve it, and some parties out of power who can't get in because of the tax credit. And I can tell you this from personal experience. I know on personal fundraising, which is the only way a party should raise its money, is through voluntary contributions. We often do as good as the Bloc, but we didn't get government financing. And with the excess money that the Bloc got, they could stay in Parliament for years and years.
Yeah.
Taxpayer was paying to have them have their own country ripped apart. What kind of thinking is that to take a, that's so anti-democratic. And I could get into the whole regulation, the price we pay for giving these tax credits, because it's the only way you're allowed to play the game. You can't get on the ballot unless you are a registered political party or a registered candidate. And they regulate the hell out of you. So it's not a pleasant playing field. And none of this stuff existed when I started with Freedom Party in 1984. They didn't regulate anything. Now they're regulating municipal election campaigns. And the government basically is making sure. And guess who the regulators are? The three main parties.
Yeah.
They tell all the rest of us what to do. And I have to report to them. You know, this is a scandal. We have privacy commissions going all over the place. And yet if somebody gives me $100.01, I don't do it, but I have to report it to the Elections Commission, and they put the person's name online. I don't get it. Your vote is supposed to be private. It boggles my mind that what's going on in the background and how the whole system is being. I have watched our democratic system just crumble and become corrupt in the last 30 years.
Well, I guess because they wanted to, they have a fear about big money. On the one side, rich individuals, should they have as much influence, or corporations or unions? On the other side, should they be able to wield as much influence as they do because of the money they're able to donate to political campaigns?
Corporations and unions do not vote. They should not be allowed to give money to a political.
Okay, fair enough. That's a great point, that individuals should be allowed, but corporations
and
should not.
They're not democratic agents. The purpose of a political party is to be a democratic agent. And all a political party is a collection of people who happen to share an ideology. You can't quantify that.
Interesting.
You know, you can't put that in a box and say, this is a conservative, this is a liberal. It doesn't work that way. And, you know, most people who discover Freedom Party would call us fiscally conservative and socially liberal. That's how most people describe us. But I don't see myself that way.
Bob, always a pleasure. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Tom.
Quick break on the program. George and Tom, hold on. Get back to you right after the news. My name's Tom McConnell. You're listening on News Talk 1290 CJBK and News Talk 610 CKTV. Tom down in London, how are you?
I'm doing well, Tom. How are you?
I'm excellent. Well, the per-vote subsidy was such wrath defended last time, I guess with the majority government, you're like, what can you do? Is that the right one to cut?
Well, I think it has to be appropriate. I'll tell you, you know, as your fortunes in politics change, so too do your positions. I mean, I think that you won't see Jack Layton arguing for proportional representation anytime soon.
No, he won't.
You know, things along those lines. But I really enjoyed the previous caller from that Freedom Party. Regardless of what party, what he failed to mention is absolutely he's not getting sponsored by any level of government. And that is because the threshold that we have established is something called official party status. So you need to have X number of seats in Parliament, then you're recognized, and then you get this funding. So that's sort of the first part of it. And I guess if I could contribute this opinion to it would be that it's not so much about how much you or I can donate to a candidate. It's about how much that one candidate should be able to receive from one individual or one family. And then because the perception, at least, is that you're buying influence, and your support certainly goes a long way to doing that financially. So I think part of it has to be how much you're allowed to spend. But if you are willing to not take the subsidy, I think there should be a way to opt out, so that if you're a well-funded party and you're getting your $100 and $200 per, you know, grassroots member, then you should be able to opt out of it. And what that would and could do is open the field up to how you advertise. So there are spending rules as much as there are donation rules, and I think if you beg off one, you should be able to take advantage of the other.
Remember in the presidential campaign down in the States, remember how they also have, and you may remember it better than me, or I should say, you may know the details better than I do, but that the Democrats chose not to get funding from the government, but that allowed them to do fundraise as much as they want and spend it on whatever they want. And the Republicans were like, no, we'll take the funding. And the Republicans were at a real disadvantage because they took the money and they matched the funds. But I think, did they not have some restrictions?
But at least they had a
choice, though. We're going to take public money or we're not going to take public money. If you don't take public money, you can do whatever you want.
And then that's kind of what I'd like to see here, because, you know, on the one side, I absolutely despise the fact that we supported the Bloc Québécois in any way financially as a federal party in our parliament. And at one point, they were even Her Majesty's loyal opposition, but were anything but. However, in the interest of democracy, I think there should be an option. So let's say that, you know, the official opposition now, Mr. Layton, wants to take advantage of the subsidy and wants to be funded by the people, then he would accept that and he'd be subject to the spending rules. And let's, for argument's sake, say that the ruling party, the Conservative Party, wishes to opt out of it, then, you know, I guess it could work for them on two grounds. The next time there's an election, they can say, listen, over the last 4 years, we've saved the Canadian voter this amount of money because we have not taken that subsidy and other parties have.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll also echo what I've heard several times over the last little while, and that is that corporations and organized labor should have no part in funding, advertising, or anything along those lines in elections. And I think that, and it was just on your news, I'm not sure if it was heard in London or not, because I was on the phone with you, but the Catholic Teachers Board here in Thames Valley, their staff have been levied a $60 charge per member.
That's right. We talked about that today. We had it for the first hour of the show. It was all on that.
Okay.
Here's a public union trying to influence the election.
Trying to influence, not just influence, but also saying that you won't be credited for attending a Conservative campaign rally. So there's you know, here's our will is for you to run against a PC candidate in the October election. And they spend, organized labor spends, first of all, money that's been literally taken off somebody's paycheck. I don't think these teachers have said absolutely, you know, we're really in favor of this. So it's taking the power away from the teachers to say no. But also it's taking money which is actually paid for by public coffers, say in this case our provincial dollars,
right,
to the teachers as salaries, and they're using that money to take out this advertising in some other name, you know, the Family Values Party or whatever
coalition, yeah,
whatever it may be. That's unconscionable.
Yeah, I mean, the clear conflict of interest between using public dollars to reward yourself with a better contract, even though, well, we're not directly doing it, but you hope to, if your group gets elected or your preferred candidates get elected, that they'll reward your campaigning by giving you a more generous a contract. You can't have public groups campaigning for any form of government. That's just
or
that's
any
just wrong.
For that matter, you know, the pharmaceutical companies used to be famous for that.
Think at the local level, how developers, local level, it's because, well, the people who decide on whether we can build a building or zoning, you know, which seems to be to a lot of us very boring issues. A lot of money at municipal level comes from developers who need those local politicians to make those decisions in their favor.
That's right. And it's not in the best interest of all of us. And again, it doesn't come back to how much should you be able to donate. It should be how much any individual running for public office is in good conscience or should in good conscience be allowed to accept in order for this to be a level playing field for everybody.
Thomas, always a pleasure. Take care, sir.
Thank you, Tom. You too.
George in Toronto, how are you?
Hey, Tom, how are you doing?
I'm excellent.
Well, you know, I look at all of this and I see we're going to a two-party system, so I think the funding has to change dramatically. I've always thought that people and corporations should be allowed to donate upon how much tax they pay, because corporations pay taxes as well. Some large corporations pay no taxes, so they wouldn't be allowed to donate anyways.
Well, that's an interesting way of looking at it.
Yeah, because I go around and I see people they're poor. You give $50, sometimes $10, that's fine, you know. But I see corporations, like I had dealt with some small businesses who even let them municipally pay $30,000, $40,000 tax. They don't have a vote. They can't donate. They don't have a say at all. And yet they're forced to pay taxes that they don't even have a say over. That doesn't even make sense.
All right, so should the subsidy have been cut or not?
Absolutely. That shouldn't have started. That started with Jean Chrétien when they want to cut out corporate donations. And it was just a compromise to make up for that loss for a lot of the parties. But look at what it's done. Now we're going to a two-party system because there's nobody that can run out there. It's impossible. And it just doesn't make sense democratically.
George, have a great day.
You too.
11:44 is our time. My name's Tom McConnell. Quick break in the program.